Black Violin, the new release from Brian Eno, and Room Full of Teeth. So there's no telling what will come up next week. Until then, gentle listener, be well.
World News. European and Asian markets have suffered heavy losses as concerns deepen over a global recession following President Trump's tariffs. The indices in Europe's big three economies, Germany, Britain and France, have recovered slightly, but there are still in a sea of red at around 3-4%. Earlier in Asia, Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index closed after recording its steepest one-day drop since the 1997 Asian financial crisis. Here's our Deputy Economics Editor, Darshini David.
Those who hoped a new week would signal a new start for stock markets were disappointed. The grim session kicked off in Asia, where Hong Kong's Hang Seng fell by 13%, Taiwan's Taiex by a record 10%. There was an element of catch-up as these markets were closed on Friday, but the bleak mood continued when European markets opened, with a growing realisation among investors that President Trump's tariffs aren't about to disappear. As the implications of retaliation from China and possibly other nations sink in, some economists put the risk of recession in the US and globally at close to 50%.
European trade ministers have been making bullish statements about retaliation as they arrived in Luxembourg for a crisis meeting. The French minister said no option on goods or services should be excluded. Germany's economy minister, Robert Habeck, urged European countries to remain united, as Rupert Wingfield Hayes reports.
Speaking in Luxembourg ahead of a meeting of EU trade ministers, Robert Habeck said he believes the US government is trying to use its economic dominance to force concessions and gain advantage over smaller countries. He warned other European countries not to try and negotiate separate deals with Washington. "We are under no time pressure to make a deal," he said. "Instead, it is the Trump administration that is under pressure and America that is in a position of weakness."
President Emmanuel Macron has said that France and Egypt condemn Israel's resumption of strikes on the Gaza Strip. Speaking in Cairo at a joint press conference with Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, Mr. Macron again called for the release of the hostages still being held by Hamas. President Sisi reiterated his rejection of the displacement of Palestinians from the territory. Overnight, Israeli airstrikes on Gaza killed at least 20 people. Two people, including a journalist, were killed in an airstrike on a media tent near Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. A general strike's being observed across the occupied West Bank in protest at the continuing Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip. Hamas has called for worldwide action to demand an end to the war on Gaza. Schools, banks and shops in Ramallah, Jericho, Jenin and Nablus are closed and the streets are empty. In Lebanon, an Israeli strike killed one person in the southern town of Tabor. The IDF claims he was a Hezbollah member, but this is not confirmed. World News from the BBC.
The 2025 Wisconsin Film Festival is going on now, all over Madison until April 10th. There are over 170 films of all shapes and sizes for you to choose from. This includes some of the best cinema from all over the world and right here in Wisconsin. choose from comedies, dramas, experimental, animated, and student films, as well as documentaries, restored classics, films for kids, and more. You can catch these films at the Bartell Theater, the Barrymore Theater, and four venues on the UW campus. The last 4 days of the festival will take place at Flick's Brewhouse, located at the Easttown Mall. A guide to all the films and where they will be shown is available in the March issue of the Isthmus and online, and tickets are available at wifilmfest.org. The Wisconsin Film Festival is happening now through April 10th on a screen near you, helping keep local arts alive for almost 50 years. This is WORT 89.9 FM, Madison.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Budget Bicycle Center's used bicycle showroom located at 930 Regent Street. Open for curbside service estimates and sales, 251-1663. More information on Budget Bicycles services for new and used bicycles is available on the web at budgetbicyclectr.com.
Good morning. It is 8:06 and you're tuned to the Monday 8 o'clock buzz on WORT 89.9 FM Madison and WORTFM.org. This is Brian Standing. On today's program, we'll hear voices and sounds from Saturday's hands-off anti-Trump rally. And at the Wisconsin legislature's March public hearing on a bill prohibiting gender-affirming care, 85-year-old Larry Jones' brief testimony went viral. Wisconsin Watch reporter Hallie Claflin caught up with Jones and brings us his story. And Madison Circus Space's new show marries juggling, aerial arts, and polka? We'll be joined by director Amanda Gatewood, aerialist Sarah Louise Rayard, and juggler Nick Akins, who will explain how it all fits together. We'll have all that, plus some announcements, the Outdoor Adventure Report, and some tasty tunes served up by your engineer, John Wilson. All that's coming up right after this. It's 8:08. You're tuned to the 8 o'clock buzz on WORT. This is Brian Standing. On Saturday, April 5th, an estimated 3 million people took to the streets across the United States to protest the policies of the second administration of President Donald Trump. Rallies occurred in all 50 states in some 1,400 locations. Here in Madison, as many as 10,000 people, some from as far away as the Michigan Upper Peninsula, thronged Capitol Square and flooded State Street. I joined the crowd on Saturday to find out what was on their minds.
I'm Lynn. I'm here because sexual assault is something that I think people ought to talk about more because it's way more common than people like to think. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to admit that it's happened to them or that it's happened to their friends. And I think that there's a lot more opportunity to have constructive conversations for how to move forward and how to bridge the kind of cultural divide that I think we're seeing that's especially playing out around us on the world stage these days. And I hope more people come out today.
What is your opinion about what's going on with the Trump administration, both in terms of women's rights and vaccinations?
Both scare me greatly, especially vaccinations. I think that people that are alive today are blessed to have forgotten how terrible measles was for everyone that came before us. And we're starting to remember.
What, as a young person, what are your thoughts about the future?
I think that we need to remain hopeful, or that we have a very scary path ahead of us.
And so you're joining a rally today. What will you consider successful about this rally?
I think really it comes down to people showing up and speaking out and sharing their truths and talking about, you know, how we can bring our voices to the community and, you know, be a part of this town that we all love.
Thank you all for attending our march and rally. We are the Game Changers, a youth advocate group through RCC's Sexual Violence Resource Center. We are here to support the future of youth autonomy and unite in our common goals, such as creating lasting change and growth, supporting reproductive and trans justice, and making sure survivors have access to the resources they need. Thank you all so much for attending. Respect our rights, respect our choice.
Respect our rights, respect our choice.
Listen up, hear us say, youth deserve a say today.
Listen up, hear us say, youth deserve a say today.
Our bodies, our choice, let youth have the voice.
Our bodies,
our choice,
let youth have the voice.
My choice!
Hi, you've got a sign which has a couple things on it. One side says, "Will not bow to kings," and "Wake up, America, you're getting screwed." How did, what inspired those signs today?
Well, it's been pretty obvious over the last few months, President Trump and Musk are just tearing apart this country. It's ridiculous. So goes the middle class, I guess, but we're fighting for it today and we're going to stick with it and we're going to win.
What inspired you to come down here today?
Number one, somebody hear our voice, and we came a long way. We're from the Michigan border up there, and it's well worth it to speak out. You got to fight for democracies now, I guess. It never used to be that way, but we will, and we'll get her done.
You've got a sign saying science matters and know your parasites.
Yes, I do, and science is very important, and it's being taken away in the schools and nationwide.
Now, you've got some human figures on that sign. Are you saying that they're parasites?
Oh, yeah. Every one of them, parasites, yep. Yep.
Tell us who you got here.
Well, we're looking at cabinet members mainly. RFK Jr., hookworm. Mm-hmm. Hegseth is a pinworm. Rubio, Giardia. And what's her name?
Tulsi
Gabbard, roundworm. And who's this? Waltz, tapeworm.
Did you pick those particular parasite names based on their characteristics?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're all human parasites, so that's why I picked them.
And can you tell me your name and what inspired you to come down here today?
My name is Carolyn, and I am inspired to come down because our democracy is being taken away from us, right from under our feet, and it's very important to stand up for our rights.
And I see you have a Walnut Grove Elementary logo on your vest. Are you a school teacher?
I'm a former school teacher, retired.
Did you teach science by any chance?
I sure did. I taught second grade, so I taught science in second grade. Yes, I did.
So you know your parasites?
I do.
Anything else you want to add?
Nope, I don't think so.
All right, thanks very much.
Yeah.
If you are in forward marching band, please come up to the steps. If you are in forward marching band, please come up to the steps.
Thank you.
You've got a sign with a quote from Eli Wiesel. Can you tell us what that quote is and why you brought it here today?
Yeah, I brought it here because it says that we have an obligation to protest when we think that our government isn't representing the interests of the people. And just what the sign says is that we may not be able to prevent injustices and the injustices that we're seeing in our country now, but we certainly can be here today and protest against that. That's what this sign is about.
And what does protest accomplish?
It brings awareness to all of us. Protest means that we, as citizens, guaranteed in our Constitution to do that. It's what our founding fathers and mothers did for this country. This country was founded on protest. And so we're here today protesting the injustices of the Trump administration and the wrongs that are being applied to people. That's why we're here. So protest creates change. And we're here, hopefully all these people, every one of us is going to try to change that.
You're carrying a sign saying pro-America and anti-Trump.
Right. Yeah. I love our country and everything that we stand for, and I hate him.
It seems like patriotism is something that the right wing seems to have taken control of. Do you think that's right?
No, not at all. Their idea of patriotism is totally different than mine. They want to destroy America and turn it into an oligarchy. I want the good old-fashioned USA.
What do you love about America?
I love the people. I love the services that our government provides. I love the national parks, the universities, the public universities, public school system, the health care. I could go on and on and on.
And what do you think rallies like this accomplish?
Well, I think they bring people together, and you know that we're all together on this. This isn't going to be the last one. There's going to be lots of these, and we're just going to keep building momentum.
Shugoni, I am from the great nation of the Menominee Nations of the 11 tribes of Wisconsin. Welcome to my country. This is not Donald Trump's country. This is not Elon Musk's country. This is our country. It is said when the water turns to poison and you can no longer eat the fish, a new people will emerge. They will rise up. It's called the Ashge Bamada Zing. And that's what you are today, the Ashge Bamada Zing, the new people. I'm very honored to be here with you, to stand with you. Rise up, my brothers and sisters, rise up!
Generations of Americans have faced and fought oppression, confronting forces determined to harm their lives and endanger their livelihoods, while still forging ahead toward the unrealized promise of liberty and justice for all. Now it is our time to show up, marching, striking, voting, and protecting each other for our freedoms, our families, and our futures. We have won the fight against exploitation by a wealthy white few before, and by joining together, we will again. Welcome the Raging Grannies.
It's a coup!
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 Thank you.
It's a coup, yes, a coup, and no other term will do. Elon Musk wears the crown of a king. Oligarchs make their marks, counting
bonds and clothes and cars. We're sure we cannot do anything. So we'll march and call out the lines and jamba halls. They'll see us on every city street. Beware!
I'm here for a whole lot of reasons, including hands off of Medicaid and Badger Care. I worked in that program for 30 years, and what they're talking about doing is horrible. And I'm also concerned about the violation of human rights going on with the way ICE is treating the immigrants. It's just like the Gestapo.
You've got a sign saying Free Kilmar Obrega Garcia. Can you tell me who that is?
Yeah, he was a man from, I believe, out in the Maryland area who was deported by the Trump administration to a San Salvadorian prison. And he had gotten permission to come to the United States at the age of 19 because he had threats on his head for his life. And they sent him back exactly to the place where he had threats coming from.
Tell us about your sign here, Revolutionary Socialists for a Free Palestine.
Yeah, absolutely. So this demonstration is to oppose everything that the U.S. government is doing right now. Unfortunately, Indivisible hasn't taken a strong stance on Palestine because they're so connected to the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. So we formed a socialist group here in Madison because we think that it's critical that we fight the genocide right now.
Just like in all of society, labor creates all wealth and labor creates all movement. You can't rely on politicians to do it for you. You got to get out there and get on the street with your fellow workers and show them who really is boss, because we rule the world.
So some folks might say that this is, you know, this is a demonstration, but it doesn't affect real change. How would you respond to that?
I think anytime this many people get together and around a cause, you know, you're going to affect something. And, you know, when there's more of us here, the media can't lie about how many people were here. You know, they're not going to say there were 100 people here. I'm looking around. There's more than 100 people. And, you know, I don't care what they say on Fox. I was here, and there's a whole bunch of people.
Looks like three sides of the square are pretty much filled.
Three sides of the square, and we're all pissed off and ready to fight.
Those were voices from the hands-off anti-Trump rally at Madison's Capitol Square on Saturday, April 5th. Stay tuned to WORT for more coverage of Saturday's rally and continued actions against the Trump administration. We'll be back with the Outdoor Adventure Report, the Song of the Week, and some station announcements coming up right after this. It's 8:23. You're tuned to the 8 o'clock buzz on WORT. This is Brian Standing. It's time once again for the Outdoor Adventure Report with Master Naturalist Paul Noldner. Hey there, Paul. What do you have up for us this week?
Hey, Brother Brian. It's a wonderful week for spring to be slowly breaking out there. I'm always glad for every cold day with climate change. I have a question for you. What is a duck's favorite food, Brian?
Quackers.
Oh, God, you're good. Okay. Your news for the day. Yeah. Our special bird this week is the American Wigeon, a duck with blue bill and brilliant white and green head and wing patches. They're not all alike out there on the water any more than we are. Your Outdoor Adventure Report for the week of Monday, April 7th to Sunday, April 13th is brought to you by Madison Fun, the Friends of Urban Nature, Parks, Environmental, and Friends Groups, helping connect Madison and especially kids with nearby nature with free family-friendly outings and education every week year-round. Join the fun. This past week featured outings and education about bird migration. Families and kids learned about the magic of migration at Tenney Park, took a nature walk at the Arb, discovered historic relationships with wetlands at Cherokee Marsh, and enjoyed UW science expeditions about birds and nature at Picnic Point. Bird lovers are joining Great Wisconsin Birdathon teams and making donations to support birds at wibirdathon.org. People are contacting legislators from Wisconsin at usa.gov/elected-officials to support funding for farmers that's not tied to a sandhill crane hunt. Native plant lovers are writing trees, shrubs, and wildflowers at swibirds.org to help support birds and restoration. And volunteers are signing up at cityofmadison.com parks to help with bluebird and purple martinhouse monitoring and volunteer for Earth Week cleanups. Bee lovers are reading about rusty patch bumblebees and research at Owen Park in The Guardian. That's an international publication. It's very cool. Bird lovers are catching a glimpse of a new eaglet at Warner Park and warblers at Cherokee Marsh. More adventures this week include opportunity to help support a new Frouchy Center for Nature Education and Outreach at Picnic Point. Essentially a small nature center right there at Picnic Point, which is a wonderful asset for our city. You can make a donation to Lakeshore Nature Preserve during UW Day of the Badger on April 7 and 8 at dayofthebadger.org under campaign Lakeshore Nature Preserve. Your donation will help support hands-on learning opportunities and connections to nature for students and community. Seniors will enjoy a nature up-close free senior bird and nature adventure on Thursday, April 10 at noon at Warner Park Community Rec Center. Join naturalist Kathleen Wolf to learn about fascinating details of our natural world and take a walk outside to enjoy looking at nature up close if weather permits. Seniors are welcome to bring a family member or friend, and organizations can invite and bring seniors. Nature lovers, families, and kids will enjoy a pasture to prairie walk bird and nature adventure Saturday, April 12, 1:30 at Owen Park. Retired conservation manager Cy Woodstrand and naturalist Ava Roos will take you to see stone fence rows and other signs of the old farm fields and pastures that are now being restored to beautiful native prairies. Learn about their human history and ecological history. Spring flowers are popping up. Let's go look for ephemerals on a free nature adventure Sunday, April 13, 1:30 at Turville Point. Join master naturalist Jeff Nesta to look for trilliums and other beautiful early wildflowers that take advantage of available sunlight before the trees and bushes leaf out. These early flowers are very important sources of food and nectar for bees before other plants bloom. Wisconsin Conservation Congress DNR spring hearings are coming up, and you can help guide nature management with input in person on April 14 and online April 14 through 16. You can go to dnr.wisconsin.gov and search for spring hearings to download a PDF with the public input questions to prepare your answers and input. More outdoor adventures coming up in April include looking for spring ephemerals, more outings, you hear a frog, shifting spring, signs of climate change, and a wildflower wander. You can sign up at cityofmadison.com parks to help do Earth Week cleanups the week of Saturday or on Saturday, April 26th in your local park, and celebrate nature at the 13th annual Madison Bird and Nature Festival at Warner Park, Sunday, April 27th. Find more details and activities at cityofmadison.com under parks and tinyurl.com/Madison Fun Adventures. And on social media with your local environmental community and Friends of Parks groups. Enjoy outdoor adventures and nature right here in Madison. It's naturally fun.
Thank you, Paul. And that brings us to the song of the week with our resident music maestro, John Wilson. What do you have for us?
Well, Brian, no topical hook or anything this week. I just decided that, you know, since everything is generally crappy when you're feeling down, or at least when I'm feeling down, sometimes I just like to play something funky and fun, preferably in a different language. So this week we're going to pretend we are in Brazil with the 1976 Jorge Ben Jor single Chica da Silva.
Sua corte, cercada de belas mucamas, num castelo na chácara da palha, de arquitetura sólida e requintada, onde tinha até um lago artificial e uma luxuosa galera. E seu avô João Fernandes, o tratador, mandou fazer só para ela. Ai, 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 Chica da, Chica da, Chica da, Chica da Silva Negra.
Chica da, Chica da, Chica da, Chica da Silva
a Negra. Muito rica e invejada, temida e odiada, pois com as suas perucas, roupas exóticas das Índias, Lisboa e Paris, a negra era obrigada a ser recebida.
Along with our listener sponsors, WRT would like to thank our local business supporters for helping us bring you great shows like this one. We never could have made it to our 50th year without our program underwriters. When you visit these businesses, please take a moment to thank them for their support of WORT. Your acknowledgement of their support really matters. A complete list of our underwriters is on our website at WORTFM.org. Does your business wish to join the party and become a WORT underwriter? Let our listeners know you support independent media. For more information about WORT underwriting, event sponsorships, or to obtain a logo tile on our popular WORT-FM app, contact Doug Holtz at 608-321-9597 or visit the staff page on our website at WORTFM.org.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bluestem Jazz, presenting Gustavo Cortinas' Crisis Knows No Borders at the North Street Cabaret on Saturday, April 12th at 8 p.m. Composer and percussionist Gustavo Cortinas brings melodic and uplifting compositions rooted in social justice. He is joined by Mark Feldman, John Arabagon, and Dave Miller. More information and tickets are available at bluestemjazz.org.
It's 8:33. You're tuned to the 8 o'clock buzz on WORT. This is Brian Standing. The Republican-sponsored Wisconsin Assembly Bill 104 would ban gender-affirming treatments such as hormone therapy or puberty blockers for individuals under the age of 18. When 85-year-old Larry Jones of Milwaukee attended the March 12th public hearing on the bill at the Wisconsin Capitol, he had registered in support of the bill but hadn't intended to speak. After hearing the testimony of transgender advocates, Jones changed his mind and spoke to the committee, speaking in opposition. The Capitol Eye video of Jones' brief testimony soon went viral. Wisconsin Watch reporter Hallie Claflin spoke to Jones afterwards and joined us now in the studio. Welcome to the 8 o'clock buzz.
Hi, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
So we had invited Larry Jones to come on this program, and he reported through you that, I'm kind of sick of all this media attention.
Yeah. At 85 years old, I think Larry is kind of, he doesn't quite know what all the buzz is about. He doesn't think he did anything too out of the ordinary, and I reminded him that he actually did. You know, to walk into a public hearing on an issue that's kind of in the political limelight and sort of have open ears and listen and hear from folks and learn and kind of admit that maybe you didn't know a whole lot about that subject and to change your mind, that doesn't happen a whole lot in today's political climate. It maybe should, but it really was something out of the ordinary, and it really touched a lot of people's hearts when they saw that viral clip. So, you know, he doesn't think he did anything too special. He's had his 15 minutes of fame, and he said, you know, he's had enough.
I mean, what does this sort of say, though, about sort of where we are, like, politically? I mean, the whole idea of public hearings is exactly that. You hear information you hadn't heard before, you hear from people, you know, and you make an informed, intelligent decision based on, you know, what you're hearing from the public. Why isn't that happening anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, why is this so unusual? Why would something like this go viral?
Yeah. Well, I think this is one of those issues that is really politically charged. In the legislature, you know, there's been four bills that have been raised in recent weeks by Republican lawmakers targeting sort of transgender youth. But this is also something that has garnered a lot of attention nationally. On President Trump's first day in office, one of his first executive orders was sort of disregarding biological nuance and kind of declaring that there are only two genders, you know, later declaring that there would be no funding that would ever go towards any sort of gender-affirming care for minors. So this is something that is really kind of trickling down nationally. It's super politically charged, and it kind of makes you wonder, you know, how many people walk into a public hearing, maybe on the state level, and kind of already have their mind made up about something, you know. And I think something that's really interesting is under the viral video of Jones, somebody had commented, you know, I wish our lawmakers were as open to changing their minds on things as this older gentleman. So I think it's really a testament to maybe some of our local leaders and state leaders can maybe adopt an open mind approach like Larry.
So tell us about Larry Jones. You've had a number of conversations with him. Yeah. What's he like?
Yeah, he's a really chatty guy. You know, he's in good health, good spirits for someone who's 85. He actually grew up in northern Michigan in a very rural area, moved to Milwaukee when he was 19, and he's lived there ever since. He's got a lot of grandkids. His grandkids were the ones who actually informed him that this clip went so viral online. But he worked in prison maintenance in Milwaukee for most of his life. You know, he mentioned that when he was growing up, I mean, the gay community was very hidden and shunned, and he had never met somebody in his life who was transgender. And so
that he knew of. Anyway.
Yeah, that he knew of. And it really is a testament to, you know, something that you don't know a whole lot about might incite a little bit of fear in you. But, you know, he still walked into that hearing with an open mind that day. And that's what makes this so kind of unique, is that, you know, especially there's a stereotype about older people and elderly that maybe they're a little more stuck in their ways, can't have their minds changed on things, especially something like this. So Larry is definitely beating that stereotype.
And how did he come to that hearing to begin with? I mean, It doesn't sound like the kind of thing that someone of that generation would necessarily, you know, travel all the way to Madison just to speak at a public hearing. How did that come about?
Yeah. I talked to him about this. I had that same question when I saw this viral video. I thought, you know, what was he doing there? What changed his mind? Where did he come from? He mentioned that his grandson had invited him, and he went along with a couple of younger people who maybe had heard a lot more about this issue than he had. But he also just said he was curious about this. You know, he's seen it in the news. He's read about it, but he just didn't know a whole lot about it. And, you know, he encourages other people, if you're curious about a political topic or you don't know a whole lot about a political topic, he really encourages people to look into it more. And so he was just there that day at the hearing to listen. He had no intention to get up and speak. And once he, you know, heard almost 7 hours of testimony, he was really moved. And he told me that he's made it his mission for the next 6 months or so to kind of learn more about the gay and trans community, which I also think is really unique that, you know, he sat through upwards of 8 hours of testimony and he still doesn't think he knows everything about the trans community and the gay community. So, you know, he's really the type of guy that's really willing to learn and really willing to see things from other people's point of view.
So what's the status of AB 104 at the current time?
Yeah, it just passed in the Assembly a few weeks ago. It passed along party lines. It's likely headed to the Senate. It will likely pass the Republican-controlled legislature. But Governor Evers, he's vetoed a mirror of this bill in the last legislative session. He's very likely to veto that bill again.
Now, you mentioned there's other bills related to the transgender community yep. working their way through the Wisconsin legislature. Tell us about some of those.
Yeah, there are three others. So there's four in total. AB 104 is one of them. But the other two bills raised by Republicans would target... they would ban women and girls from participating in collegiate and high school women's sports. And the fourth bill would actually ban school officials and staff from using students' preferred name and pronouns without parental consent. So it's really interesting. Transgender youth really is sort of a target of this legislature with four of those bills. And I know some of the Republican authors of those bills and lawmakers, such as Senator Corey Tomchick and Representative Scott Allen, they've argued that, you know, kids under the age of 18 aren't ready to make any sort of medical decision about their gender or their gender identity. But I think folks on the other side of the aisle, as well as a lot of transgender teens and parents of transgender teens, argue that, you know, this kind of care is really essential to their mental and physical well-being.
So, and I mean, a lot of the issues that the Republicans are raising are saying, you know, without parental consent. I mean, how does this differ from other issues involving minors and sort of medical care or health care issues? What is different about the transgender issues as opposed to other sorts of health related issues?
Yeah, I think lawmakers see this as sort of a type of care that is irreversible, which is why they're so concerned about maybe someone under the age of 18 making any sort of decision about puberty blockers, hormone shots, any sort of surgery. They see this as irreversible and they're maybe worried about somebody regretting it later down the road. But I think a lot of younger trans teens in that hearing kind of spoke to the fact that, you know, maybe some of them have supportive parents who want to work with a qualified doctor to get them this care. But I think some transgender youth sort of don't have supportive parents maybe who might not allow them to get this kind of care. And so there's sort of a level of autonomy there that's really in question, that's really debated sort of at the state level and the national level of, you know, how involved should parents be in getting that child that type of care? And of course, then the next question is sort of how involved should lawmakers be?
Now, is that characterization that these types of treatment are all irreversible, is that accurate?
There's some mixed studies, but I will say the Trevor Project has done a lot of research about just the fact that kind of raising these bills to begin with, whether they're going to pass or not, actually has a pretty harmful effect on transgender youth. I think a recent survey showed that about 90% of trans and LGBTQ plus youth reported that their mental health was negatively impacted by recent politics. And there's also a lot of medical studies that show that when their preferred name and pronouns are used, it actually has a really beneficial effect on their mental well-being and physical well-being. So those are things that definitely need to be taken into account.
And so tell us some more about some of the testimony that was presented in opposition that, you know, Larry Jones found so convincing. What were people talking about?
Yeah. Larry said that his attention was really caught eventually once people started mentioning really serious things like suicide. You know, he said his ears kind of perked up because he thought, you know, these are kids. You know, they shouldn't have to go through this. They shouldn't be so torn, and you know, they shouldn't have to feel like their brains are tearing them apart. You know, he later said, I think these kids were born this way, which is sort of a striking opposition to what he was originally there to advocate for that bill. But yeah, there was, to put it in perspective, each person at this public hearing only had about 2 minutes to speak, and the hearing went on for upwards of 8 hours. So that gives you a sense as to just how many people showed up to speak either for or against this bill. Again, there were some folks who spoke, you know, for the bill. They've said that, you know, they have concerns about children under the age of 18 making these decisions that they might regret later down the road. But there were a lot of young trans teens there, as well as their parents, who said, my child, it's like their brain is tearing them apart. You know, this is who they are, and they deserve this kind of care. They need this kind of care. And there's a lot of question about whether or not lawmakers should be making those decisions, or whether a parent should be sitting down with a child, or a child sitting down with a qualified doctor and making those decisions.
All right. We've been speaking with Hallie Claflin, reporter for Wisconsin Watch. Hallie, thank you so much for joining us on the 8 o'clock buzz.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
We'll be back with Madison Circus Space's Kishka performers coming up right after this. It's 8:47. You're tuned to the 8 o'clock buzz on WORT. This is Brian Standing. What do you get when you combine circus acrobatics, juggling, sausage, polka, and silent film? Well, Kishka, the new show coming to Madison Circus Space, aims to find out. The story is set in a 1930s butcher shop where, as the Waltz Solek classic polka goes, someone stole the Kishka. We're fortunate enough to be joined in the studio by producer-director Amanda Gatewood. Welcome, Amanda.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Also joining us is aerial performer Sarah Louise Rayard.
Hi, nice to be here.
And welcome, Sarah. And finally, we also have juggler Nick Akins. Welcome, Nick.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So this is a mishmash of different sort of concepts going on here. We got silent film, we got polka, we got sausage, we got circus arts. How did this all come together, and what was the inspiration for it?
Well, it's everything Wisconsin loves.
Okay, there you go.
Polka, sausage, and circus. Wisconsin's the home of American circus in many ways. The Ringling Brothers were from Wisconsin. And so we were really happy to bring all of these very Wisconsin traditions together. Also, we had been thinking about making a comedic circus show that has a single story that weaves through it. Since, I guess, 2022, we started thinking about this. And so when we heard when we identified the song Who Stole the Kishka as sort of the plot of our story, it just built from there.
So it's a fairly simple plot, right? I mean, someone stole a Kishka and then they bring it back.
Well, I mean, that is the spoiler that will happen at the end, but a lot happens in the meantime.
Okay, so there's many adventures along the way.
Yeah, we have 9 different characters, and each one kind of has their own arc, and we have a lot of different circus disciplines represented in our show, so we're really excited to share them with everyone this weekend.
Well, let's talk about some of those circus disciplines. Sarah Louise, you do a variety of aerial arts here. What are you performing in this piece?
So in this show, I'm primarily doing aerial hoop,
And I've actually brought Amanda along with me. I've taught Amanda some aerial hoop moves so that we could do some duo. And like Amanda said, we're kind of bringing in some characters that are not in the original song. So you'll have to come to the show to see what exactly I get up to on the hoop.
Okay, sounds good. And then, Nick, I don't recall any juggling in the Who Stole the Kishka Waltz Solo lyrics.
This is true. My character has nothing to do with the song. It's just comic relief and juggling.
Is there juggling of sausage involved by any chance?
Actually, it's a juggling of bananas.
Bananas, okay.
There's a banana plot twist.
Now, for those of you who don't know, a kiszka, of course, is a particular kind of Polish sausage that's highly prized. So when someone steals it, it's a big deal, right? I mean, so
it's a sacred object in our show.
It is. So,
okay. We're treating it with reverence.
I would certainly hope so. So are there actual sausages in here? Or are they...
There may be a small amount of meat products involved in the show.
Okay.
No, as far as I think we're 100% vegetarian friendly.
Okay, so a vegan kiszka, perhaps.
Yeah.
All right. So I understand you've got a little bit of demonstration of your skills that we're going to try and do here in the studio. And we can sort of try and narrate that as it goes along for the listeners at home. Who wants to start and with what?
I'd be happy to start, sure.
Okay, so we've got Nick Akins as a juggler, and tell us what you're going to be juggling here.
So I'm going to be juggling some Russian juggling balls.
What makes them Russian?
So they are, if you kind of like think of like a playpen juggling ball and then fill it with sand, the benefit of it is it doesn't roll as easily as a standard stage ball, which would just be a plastic shell. And I think they were related to, historically jugglers from Russia would juggle this type of juggling ball.
Okay.
But don't quote me on that.
And does the sound sand make a noise as you juggle?
Yes, yes.
Oh, well, that's excellent. So we'll have to try and get that on microphone.
Yeah, I don't know if you can pick that up, but that's what it sounds like.
All right, okay. So Nick Akin, and you've got five of these here, which is like the black belt of juggling. Yes,
yes, yeah. I can do a few patterns that are kind of rhythmic with three, and then I can move up to five if that works.
Okay,
just for a minute.
All right. Nick Akin's juggling the Russian juggling balls. So he's starting with three. One, two, yeah, here we go.
So just the basic pattern.
Okay.
And then you can do some...
Ooh, passing from one hand to the other directly. And a little bit higher altitude now.
Or you can do things that are a little bit faster. Oh. And then you can drop them.
Drop them overhand. And dropping them is part of juggling.
So things like that.
Okay. Flip up with the foot.
Yeah.
And, those are getting very complicated patterns.
Ooh, sight swaps.
Yeah.
Feel free to comment on these as we're going along. Oh, behind the back.
Hit the ceiling.
Hit the ceiling.
Yeah, the low ceilings
still
are
caught a bit of a challenge.
On the head, off the forehead, rolling down the shoulder.
Yeah, things like that. Or this one is a fun one for visual context.
Ah, behind the back. Sort of rolling up along his back against the jacket. Very nice. Excellent.
So, and then if you wanted to see a little bit more,
okay. Now we're up to five.
Well, we're just going to skip four because
Yeah. Oh, woo! Very impressive. All up in there's. So, how many balls in the air at the same time if you're
at
juggling
three,
five? Three.
Three minimum. Sometimes four. Generally not five because you usually have at least one in your hand.
He can juggle and talk at the same time.
Impressive. All right, Nick Akins with the juggling. Thank you. And then, Amanda, you've got a little bit of acrobatics you're going to show us.
Oh, sure. I thought I would do a handstand for you off of your radio station chair.
Okay. Excellent. Sarah Louise, you want to tell us what we're seeing here as she's doing it?
Yeah. So this is called a puppy press, and it's when you press into a handstand with one foot kind of into a split straddle type position.
Okay.
Instead of just... coming up through the center, you're kind of tipping off to one side first, then you come to your straddle, and then you press all the way back up into your handstand.
Very well done. So
thank you.
So
it's
why
close
is it,
quarters in here.
Why is it called a puppy press?
Well, because as you lean into the handstand and shift your weight, you bring one leg up in the air and bend your knee.
Okay.
And it looks sort of like a puppy going up to a fire hydrant.
Classy. Very
classy. She makes it look a lot nicer than that.
All right. So we talked a little bit about, we had some demonstrations of some of the circus skills here. We don't have room to hang a hoop, an aerial thing.
Yeah, sorry. I don't have any portable skills.
And Brian, you yourself, I know you're an aerialist as
well. I have done some. My preference is I like the things that you can't fall. From.
That's right. So you've done bungee.
Yeah, so like harness yep. Straps, and the straps teacher I had said, yeah, if you fall, it means your arm fell off and you have much bigger things to worry about. So
exactly.
I like to stick to those, so the ones, I'm just sort of opposed to falling, but I have done some of it, but nothing on this scale and nothing that's sort of a unified theatrical piece. Amanda, as the director of this, tell me, how does that narrative storyline change how you produce an act like this?
Oh, well, we started by identifying the people that would be in the show and kind of casting them and giving them their particular songs. And then they each created a solo, but it incorporated other people from the ensemble in it. So it's a little bit different than the way we do a typical show at the Madison Circus Space. We typically have a variety show and each act kind of stands alone. So we've been working on this. We started rehearsing in September. And we really started planning it back in May. So it's been a lot longer process and a lot more fun in a way. I think our cast has gotten really cohesive and we're having a lot of fun. It's our last week before we open the show and we're just having a great time together. Mm-hmm. Also, I wanted to mention that, we love making these shows for the community, for Madison. And so one of the things that we did is we're trying to reach out and connect with other organizations that we love and support. And so as part of this show, the Madison Circus Space has donated 50 tickets to the older adult program at the Goodman Center, which is a nearby community center that has senior lunch and senior tech help. And so we wanted to build the connection, especially since the show is set in the Great Depression and all of the music is from the 30s and 40s. We thought that would be a great show to bring older people in.
Are there a lot of senior citizens who participate in circus arts?
We definitely have some programs that are targeted to older adults. We have a longtime instructor, Hildy Fien, who teaches a low-flying dance trapeze class targeted for older adults. Recently, we've brought in some more programming around senior parkour and a class called Learn to Fall. So it's definitely one of our target demographics as part of our strategic plan. And, this show fits in perfectly with what we're trying to achieve and expand our outreach to older adults because circus is for everybody.
And then finally, just tell me a little bit about the music that you're going to be playing. I mean, we were talking about it. This is a polka sort of event. Are most of the acts set to polka music?
The music's all from, most of it's from the 30s and 40s. We did a deep dive. We've read Studs Terkel's Hard Times book, trying to learn more about the Great Depression and the mindset people had. We listened to tons of music before deciding upon what to play. So we're really excited about the soundtrack. We still, even after listening to these songs since September, we still love the music and we hope that people who come will love it too.
Not sick of the songs yet, which is pretty impressive since we've been rehearsing to them multiple times a week for 6 months?
Yeah. So you hear these songs in your sleep, I'm sure, at this point.
Pretty much. We bleed polka.
So we've talked about polka, we've talked about sausage, we've talked about circus, but there's also a silent film aspect to this. What does that involve? How did that come about? Nick?
I would like to say that, I'm not organizing the show, so much props to the other members here and some of the people who are not here, but one of the fun things is we have a kind of like a nod to silent film. We have these cue cards that help demonstrate what's going on in the show, so we don't talk, but we do make noises, and we do have this vocabulary, this text vocabulary that we speak. So,
and we have a lot of physical comedy inspired by Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton, those wonderful clowns of old. So a lot of the show we're going for that vibe. Should we achieve it, that would be an amazing feat.
All right. We've been speaking with director Amanda Gatewood, aerialist and Circus Space board member Sarah Louise Raylard, and juggler Nick Akins. The show Kishka takes place at Madison Circus Space 2082 Winnebago Street on April 11th and 12th. For tickets and more information, go to madisoncircusspace.com. Thank you all for joining us on the 8 o'clock buzz. I know it's early for your performer type, so thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having us.
And that wraps up our program for today. I'd like to thank all of our guests, the participants at last Saturday's anti-Trump rally on Capitol Square, Wisconsin Watch reporter Hallie Claflin, producer-director Amanda Gatewood, aerialist Sarah Louise Rayard, and juggler Nick Akins. Thanks to our producer, Nicholas Wooten, who lined up the great guests you heard here today and kept everything running smoothly down at the studio. Thanks to our engineer, John Wilson, who piloted the mighty WORT soundboard and spun all the great tunes. Thanks also to our receptionist, Amy Ludsky. This is WORT 89.9 FM Madison. If you missed some of today's broadcast, or if you'd like to hear extended versions of many of our interviews, check out our archives and podcasts at WORTFM.org. My name is Brian Standing. Global Revolutions is coming your way right after the Insurgent Radio Kiosk.
It's been a long, hard year for a friend who's not sure if he's close enough to be allowed to care or just be there to include you in his evening prayer. Could stop the pain when the pain needed more than ibuprofen.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Monday, April 7th.
America's family farmers were astonished recently to get a jolly tweet from the President of the United States. "Have fun," exclaimed the Donald. Fun? The farm economy is in the ditch, with crop prices at depression levels and bankruptcy surging. Plus, Trump Inc. is now rigging the law to give agribusiness monopolies more power to run roughshod over farmers and rural communities. Well, yes, say the billionaire geniuses and partisan hacks who've seized control of farm and food policies, but our phantasmagoric laissez-faire land ideology will open up new agricultural markets here at home. So see? Fun. Those ideologues, however, can't make chicken salad out of chicken manure, and that's what their promises are. While Brooke Rollins, Trump's corporatized ag secretary, babbles about new markets, she actually shut down a nationwide market that provided $1 billion a year to family farmers who produce for local schools, food pantries, etc. In reality, Rollins' goal is an industrialized, globalized food economy. So she coldly dismissed these local sales as, quote, non-essential. Of course, that says to all the people involved that her government considers them non-essential.